Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news. Welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you direct connection to what's happening in New York and Pennsylvania with the experts on the issues at the state capitals. They are, as always, Jason McGuire with New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms and Michael Geer with the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Jason, it is up and away at the gas pump. Prices have never been this high, and New York lawmakers are taking action. They're floating the Gas Tax Relief Act, which they say will take almost 50 cents a gallon off what you're paying right now. Do you support this effort? And ultimately, how bad do you think it could get at the gas pump?
Well, you know, the latter question first, no one knows how bad it's going to get. I mean, I just see this thing climbing and climbing and climbing. I think, you know, the suspension of the gas tax would be a help immediately to New York families, which would be a start. But ultimately, it's the policies that have to change. You know, our governor was quick to come out and basically refute the idea of the gas tax. They're still pushing for green energy policies. That's a false narrative. Gas prices were high prior to the Russian invasion of the Ukraine. So we need energy independence, not political posturing.
Yeah, President Biden this week was asked, hey, what are you doing about the surging gas prices? He says there's nothing he can do. This is all Vladimir Putin's fault. But at the same time, there are those who are blaming this squarely on the Green New Deal, Michael, and that effort to make America a fossil fuel free economy. There's efforts as well in Pennsylvania to address the energy crisis. Tell us what's going on.
It's just common sense. I mean, Representative Clint Owlett and other legislators have introduced legislation the Pennsylvania General Assembly to free up the exploration and extraction of natural gas and oil in Pennsylvania, which is plentiful here, and it needs to happen across our land as well, because President Biden has sent his emissaries to places like Venezuela and Saudi Arabia and other places seeking them to send more oil. Why not do it right here in the United States and give people jobs and instead make us less reliant on what's going on in other places?
Yeah, Jason, an interesting poll came out this week. More than 7 in 10 Americans say, hey, I'd pay more for gasoline if it means turning off the spigot to Putin's blood money. But yet this is unprecedented. What long-term effect will this have on the economy as we're trying to emerge from the shadow here of a global pandemic?
I think it's going to have a great effect. You know, as those gas prices rise, it affects every area of life. I mean, your groceries, everything else you purchase, that's going to raise the price of those things. It has to be transported somehow. And this is going to hit that family's pocketbook. So it will have long-term lasting impacts. And while people are more willing to spend that money right up front, and I appreciate that gesture, I feel the same way, there are better policies that could actually lower the price of gas while also cutting off that Russian oil.
All right, we could spend the rest of our time talking about this story, but there are other issues. Michael, you've got a forum coming up this month for the Pennsylvania Republican gubernatorial candidates. Give us the who, why, where, and when, if you would.
Well, we've invited all the GOP candidates, and most of them are coming. We have a couple who are letting us know whether they're going to be there, but it's going to be at Kern University, which is in suburban Philadelphia. And we're going to be talking to the prospective gubernatorial candidates about their positions on the issues that Pennsylvanians care about. We're going to talk about gas prices and crime and things like that, but also the issues that Pennsylvania Family Institute constituents are very concerned about. Sanctity of life, what's going on in the classroom, all of those sorts of issues. We're excited about it. It's on Thursday evening, March 24th.
All right. Well, given dates, there's something coming up next Tuesday, Jason, March 15th, a very important day for you. It's your second annual Digital Day of Action. How can our listeners take part?
Yeah, this is really, instead of our annual in-person legislative day with 12 to 1,500 people at the state capitol, COVID restrictions are relaxed but still remain there. So we're doing a Digital Day of Action. And all you need to do is subscribe to our email list at albanyupdate.com/subscribe, and then you can go ahead and be invited to participate in that live stream and actions throughout the day to make a difference in our state capital.
All right, we'll give the website again at the end. Highly recommend folks go and be a part of that. So much going on in Albany that you got to be aware of. And Michael, school choice is big on your agenda. The demand for school choice has never been higher in Pennsylvania. If you would, what's driving this? And why, in your opinion, is the Commonwealth failing families?
There's so many different things that are driving it, and a lot of it has to do with the pandemic. Number one, parents got a window into the classroom with the virtual education that was going on. Parents were, in many cases, appalled by what they saw presented in the curriculum as well as what teachers were talking about in the classroom. That's number one. Number two, parents, you know, were very upset about many of the mandates and school shutdowns and masks and all of those things and thought, I need a different way to educate my children, and I think the money should follow the child. That's what we've been pushing at Pennsylvania Family Institute, and we're hopeful in this session and in coming sessions, especially perhaps with a new governor, that we can really make some big advances on school choice.
All right. Again, you'll have more to say on that on your website at the end of this program. Another shameless plug for you, Jason. You've got an event coming up in April for people of faith who are keen on the idea of serving on their local school board. No better way that you can impact your community than doing that. Why is this such an important event for you?
Yeah, I think you're referencing our campaign school on Friday, April 8th and 9th in Rochester, New York. And it is important because, you know, we are a representative form of government. And if Christians are not engaged in the legislative and political process, well, they're just not represented. And so we need to be involved in those positions of power and authority. We do it in a Christ-like, God-honoring way, but you've got to get involved.
Do you think what happened in Virginia last year will maybe spur a little more people to get involved in this event in April?
Yeah, I think it's already happening. I think parents are rising up. Parents are getting involved. People realize now that their lives are impacted by school board policies, by, you know, local policies, not just what's happening in Albany or Washington, D.C., but what's happening in my school district. And so this is a great opportunity to come learn how to be a candidate just in time to petition to get on those school board races.
All right. Speaking of petitions, Michael, Pennsylvania Family Institute is petitioning the U.S. Supreme Court. You filed an amicus brief with the court in preparation for a momentous First Amendment case coming out this spring, early summer. It has to do with a high school football coach and public prayer. What's going on here?
Yeah, the coach's name is Joe Kennedy. He's a salt of the earth guy who cared about the students that were part of the football players, that part of his team. And one of the things he did after he became a Christian, he'd been a coach for a long time, but as a Christian, at the end of football games, he would go to the 50-yard line by himself, kneel down and pray, thanking God for the safety of the players. And as he did that, more and more players from his team and from even opposing teams joined him at the 50-yard lines, and for that, he got fired. And so this is a key First Amendment prayer case that's before the Supreme Court, and our attorneys at the Independence Law Center filed a friend of the court brief that many of our sister organizations, I think including Jason's, signed on to, and we're excited about that.
And again, we're expecting a ruling on that in June, and the ramifications of that just going to be felt everywhere in America. And just finally, before we go, Jason, our favorite topic, former Governor Andrew Cuomo, he gave his first public address since resigning last summer. Just this past weekend, he was at a church, actually, in New York City, telling the audience there that God is not done with him yet. That's a direct quote. A lot of folks thought he was damaged goods, but there may be room for a Cuomo comeback, you think?
Well, I think I actually find myself agreeing with Governor Andrew Cuomo that God is not done with him yet. However, it may not be in the way that he is thinking. It is amazing how many politicians are suddenly going to churches to be speaking on Sunday mornings. I only hope that after Election Day, they'll also return to hear the gospel.
Yeah. And Pennsylvania, I couldn't believe this, Michael. New York has the most, of course, because of New York City. But Pennsylvania has the second highest Ukrainian population of any state in the country. And as we remain fixated, as we should, on what's going on in Europe, share more with us what your state is doing. Can it do more as we go into this war here, 2 weeks and counting?
Well, it depends on what we mean by state. I guess what I would say is I see the people of Pennsylvania really rising up and taking the bull by the horns, as it were, to help refugees, to help those in need in the Ukraine and those who are fleeing that country from the war that's going on there. I, for example, was invited by a friend of mine, a former board member of Pennsylvania Family Institute, who's putting together a pretty big dinner to raise money for Ukrainian refugees. They're going to be serving Ukrainian cabbage soup and bread. Wow. And telling stories about that country. So this is the kind of stuff when Christians and individuals just say, we're going to do something to help those in need.
All right. Ukrainian cabbage soup sounds delicious. But hey, if you want more information, Jason, And you mentioned that Digital Day of Action coming up next week and that other event you have in April. Folks want to learn more about that. Where can they find you online?
AlbanyUpdate.com.
And stay informed on the issues. Learn more about this Republican gubernatorial forum coming up this month. Michael, where can folks find you?
PAFamily.org.